Tonight I invite you to look at Psalms 51 with me as we study something that certainly is very deep in the heart of everyone who has ever committed a sin that they're penitent of. You have to be penitent to reach this time of life. But David here is a man of God. In one place it says that he's a man after God's own heart. But you know, people that are of golden character and are Christians can do things that are wrong. I remember back through the years, somebody says, how in the world could she have done that? How in the world could he have ever done that? Well, just remember that Peter in the upper room just before Jesus was arrested told Jesus, I'll never betray you. Everybody else might, but not me. And just a few hours, he was cursing and denying Jesus as his Lord. The same thing happened to the Apostle Peter that happens to this man. Peter never did write a psalm about it. But this man has committed a grievous crime. Let me ask you real personally, and you don't need to raise your hands, just think in your heart. Have you ever said something that you wished you hadn't said? You ever say, oh, if I could just call that back. I just wish I hadn't said that. But you can't call it back. And because of that, a heavy burden sits down upon the heart, way down deep in the nook and crannies of the conscience. And it begins to gnaw at you. Well, that's because you said something you wished you hadn't said. Have you ever done anything that you wished you hadn't done? How reckless can we be sometime? Jesus tells us to be on guard all the time. Watch, and he says not only watch, but to pray. The reason he says, and he knew sin better than anybody else in the world, and he knew what it would cost a man. He said, for the devil, your adversary, goeth about. Peter said it, but he's inspired by the Holy Spirit. Your adversary, the devil, goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Paul says, we're not ignorant of his devices. And it is true that Satan is absolutely after you. And he's after me. And he doesn't let up. What is it they say? It's 24 hours, 24/7. Well, he's like that. Unless perhaps it's when you're asleep and you're not dreaming bad dreams. But this man here has committed an atrocious crime in his heart. It was a reckless day. He didn't get up intending to do this. He didn't plan to do it. David got up one morning, perhaps the sun was shining bright. At least the day was pretty enough for him to be walking on the top of his house up there, up on the castle roof, wherever he was. And in a moment, in the flashing of an eye, he saw a woman taking a bath. And Satan whispered in his ear. Immediately he caved in and he committed this crime. He tried to cover it up for a period of time, and I think the covering up of the sin is even worse than the sin itself, if that could possibly be, because he not only committed adultery with Bathsheba, but then to cover it up, he had her husband Uriah killed. And the story goes on, and I'm sure you know it. Maybe there is something that God can help us tonight gain another or glean another message from it. I know you've heard the story before, but we sing this wonderful story of love. Tell it to me again. Because you can't have it written upon your heart enough. Because all of a sudden one day you may need to rely upon the Word of God and the Holy Spirit that dwells within us with all of our heart. And maybe you will come to know, I hope not, but maybe you'll come to know that the most indispensable gift that you ever have, the most indispensable thing in your life, is the presence of God dwelling deep down inside in the holy temple of your conscience. Because that not only covers a multitude of sins, it can prevent a multitude of sins. Now in this Psalms 51, we have the cry, the sobbing cry of a man that's crying out from the depths of his heart. He has committed an atrocious crime. He thought he had it covered up. But then the prophet came in one day and said, told him, you know the story about the little lamb. And David wanted to have the man who stole the lamb killed. And he said, you're the man. And then David's blood turned to water and he shook like a leaf in a storm. And we believe that sometime after this that he wrote this psalm. He feels like he's a man on the edge of the bottomless pit and just about to fall in. And he's pleading in this psalm saying unto Almighty God, take anything in the world away from me but the one thing that matters the most. Please don't take that. Don't take that which makes life livable. I can't think of it, David says, of having to go a step further without the feeling of the presence of God in my life. If I were to lose that, I would lose everything. So God, take everything from me you wish, but please don't take the Holy Spirit from me. And that's what he says as he began the psalm. He says, have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness. You ever felt that way about a sin? Well, I think that I have. Crying out for the mercy of God. I think anyone that is penitent over the sin and something that they've committed can certainly join with David in saying, oh, I need the mercy of God on that. Because there's no other way to get rid of it. If you can't get rid of it, and if you don't come to God, and if you don't recognize this, you are a class one case for suicide. You remember Judas? Back in my years of ministry, I've had to be called to the bedside of those who were committing suicide or tried it. And it's a pitiful thing. The time is, and they pour out their soul to you much of the time. Maybe sometimes they hold something back, but most of the time they'll pour out their soul to you, and it's not a pretty sight. It's a terrible thing. It's a burden. And the burden got so heavy, Brother Northern, I just couldn't carry it. Well, this is no way to try to handle it. Your Lord knows what that burden is. Although Jesus Christ never committed a sin in his life, and he went to the cross as pure, as immaculate as snow itself, on the cross of Calvary, because he was carrying the burdens of the sins of the world, every sin that had ever been committed in the past, every sin that will ever be committed in the future, he bore your sin, he bore my sin. So much so, he felt that he was about to lose the presence of God. My God, my God, why have you forsaken me? You ever felt that way? Ever felt that you committed some kind of sin? Now, Jesus hadn't committed the sin, but he was carrying the burden of sin. And there's something with the burden of sin. When you're so preoccupied with guilt in your own soul about something you've said or something you've done, particularly something you've done, there is a terrific loneliness that sets in upon the heart. That causes you to cower. And you try to be brave in front of people, but it's gnawing at you all the time. Does he know? Does she know? You know. And so you try to go ahead. But you're lonely deep down inside. God knows. But what kind of a person would I be if God decided to withdraw from the temple of my soul? The most precious gift that one can ever receive this side of heaven. God wanted to dwell with his people from the very beginning, but because of sin in the heart, he could not. And one of the pitifulest stories to me is in the Old Testament when they were so sinful, but God had created his people and he was trying to bring them back to himself. And the Bible says, make me a tabernacle that I may dwell in your midst. God in heaven dwelling in a goat tent, down with the rattlesnakes, the asps, whatever they were, down in the rocks, in the wilderness. God in heaven doing that to be with his people? And they were murmuring and complaining. Finally, God says, build me a better one. And Solomon built the great house. And when he finished it, he dedicated it with, oh, you ought to read that, thousands of cattle and sacrifices to cleanse the temple and have a great day for the Lord. And the Bible says, and the Lord moved into that temple. The presence of the Lord came. But he came into a temple that's going to be destroyed because not long after this, they began to sin wholesale again and bow down to pagan idols. And for this cause, they went into, God allowed them to go into captivity in a strange land. And when they went into the captivity of the strange land in Ezekiel, the 10th chapter, there's something there that is very poignant to me. The Bible says when this happened, Ezekiel talking, the Holy Spirit of God rose from the temple and it moved or departed from the east. The Spirit of God departing from the house that they had built for him that God allowed Solomon to build. And an old goat tent, and now then a wealthy, as we talked about this morning, a wealthy house of God in Jerusalem. God could care less about the overlaid gold ceilings and everything. What he wants is to dwell with his people. And David here acted so nonchalantly. He acted in such a way that some of us act. Just marked time. He was king. He could do what he wanted to. Every day was passing. And all of a sudden, here was a day of excitement for him. And he did something atrocious. Now he feels dirty. Sin does that. When you say something you shouldn't say and you do something you shouldn't do, one of the first things, I was talking to a girl, this girl that tried to commit suicide. You know the first thing she did? She went to the shower and just showered and showered. You can't wash it off, but she was trying to. Thank God there is something that can wash it off, but it's not a shower, a shower stall. Wash me and make me clean. He felt so filthy and so dirty. You might put up with your filth, although it gnaws at you and you don't like it. You may put up with your filth for a little while like he did inside. But once it's known, once it is known, it is a poison that poisons the atmosphere around you. And when you walk in, you feel, well, you may be in a crowd, but you feel all alone. You feel rejected. You don't feel like you fit anymore. David felt like that. Wash me and make me clean. And Jesus came to this earth to do that, to wash and to be clean. What does it mean now to possess the Spirit? To possess the Spirit, first of all, when the Holy Spirit comes into our soul like he says he does in Acts, the second chapter, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. God coming into the conscience and in the heart. The presence of God to dwell with us intimately inside. As Jesus said, I in you and you in me. Now, that's what it means to have the Holy Spirit in your soul. And therefore to be conscious of that. Also, there's another thing to be alert to and to be sensible to the mind of Christ and to the will of God as He has written it for us in the Word of God. You have no sense of rebellion in you whatsoever, though I'd like to change that. I don't like that about the Word of God. We need a new interpretation. That is a good sign that you're quenching the Spirit deep down inside. And if you continue to quench the Spirit, just as He moved out of the temple back in Ezekiel, the 10th chapter, just as He moved out and left the house of God empty and a den of thieves in the days of Jesus Christ and pronounced woes upon it, and it was burnt to the ground by a pagan king, just as that can abandon our soul. It means to have the Spirit, to have a faith that takes the Bible for what it says and believe God will keep His word. It means to be obsessed with a living hope that transcends this physical world and to be alive and to be able to see by faith. Hebrews 11 said these people endured, especially Moses, these people endured because they could see the unseen. When God moves out, the spiritual eyes become dim. Heaven draws away. It's way away someplace. Where is God and Jesus? The church even itself begins to be a little bit irksome itself, you know. And so we follow the path with the loss of the Spirit of Ephesus, the first one mentioned in Revelation. Ephesus lost their first love. And then with the loss of the love and the tuning down of the Spirit, there is Laodicea who became lukewarm. Oh, she had everything. She had all the trappings. She was rich and increased with goods and said, we don't have anything. Yes, you do. For the preacher said to them, don't you know that you're wretched and blind and miserable and naked? Now that's a person, though, that's far different from David. David is touched by his sin. But if we continue to lose the Spirit in the direction of first Ephesus and then Laodicea, who became lukewarm, the next one is Sardis. You have a name that you're living, but you're dead. A dead congregation. So there is the possibility then of having the Spirit in the heart, as the Bible teaches, and there is the possibility of losing that. Didn't Paul say, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee, and I'll be with you until the end and all of this? Well, sure he did. But we're in pitiful shape if we put no conditions on that, because conditions are written all around it. Well, there are things that can break our fellowship with God. And we need to be aware of these things. Too much idleness. My mom used to say, what your mom probably said, idleness is the devil's workshop. I think that probably David was probably doing that day. He was idle. He's on top of the housetop up there, and he was laid back and take it easy, and that's what got him in trouble. But another thing is neglect. Neglect of prayer. When you begin to neglect in prayer, it's because something else is happening deep down inside. Seems all, if you pray, it seems in vain. Nobody got there's listening. Where are you, God, anyway? Neglect a Bible study with all that goes, the critical insight of the will of God. And so neglect steals away the Spirit from out of our heart one little item at a time until all seems useless. With worship and citizenship, we're careless about the citizenship in the kingdom of God. And when that happens, Jesus says, this is what I say to them. Take it from him and give it to somebody else. He's buried his talent. He hasn't used it. Now what he has, take it away from him and give it to somebody else. I don't think that Jesus said that ugly. I think there's pity in that. I think there's an awesome thought. Oh God, David says, take not the Holy Spirit from me. What an awesome day this is then when someone arrives to the point that Jesus says, take what he's got and give it to somebody else. He's useless. He's not using it. It's pitiful. He may be religious, but his religion doesn't amount to anything. Faith without works is dead, being alone. And so then there's not only then neglect, and there's not only idleness, but then there is outright rebellion. There is that secret rebellion deep down in the soul that finally breaks out in the open. It starts deep down in the soul by simply, when you read the Bible or hear a sermon preached, to think to yourself, I wished it wasn't that way. I wished it was another way. That's what makes people seek out a church that'll finally preach it like they want it. That's why there's so many different preachers and denominations. What is it? Isn't there one of these fast food places that have it like you like it? And so people have come up with the idea that we can do religion that way. God forbid. And God says when you get like that, he doesn't even have sense enough to know that it's been taken from him and given to somebody else. I'll tell you one who lost the Spirit and didn't know that he had lost it till it was too late. This man was, in Hebrew, his name means sunshine. Sunny disposition. He liked to joke. He liked to crack jokes all the time. He really liked to have jokes on the enemy, too. You know who I'm talking about? Samson. But Samson liked to play with sin, and he found him a lady friend, too, by the name of Delilah. And he went down among the enemies, and he played with sin until sin played with him. She told him, and she fondled him, and she cooed to him, and she patted him, and finally got him asleep on her lap. And she said, you don't love me if you don't tell me where your strength is. And guess what? He finally told her, and he made a covenant with God not to do that, but he did. And he went off to sleep. And while he's asleep, Delilah cut his hair. Have you ever been with a Delilah? Don't raise your hand. He went to sleep on Delilah's lap. Delilah cut his hair. And guess what happened? Take what he has. Take it away from him. And it did. God took his strength away from him. And the terrible thing was that when the enemy came upon him the next morning, he didn't even know that he didn't have the strength. And there's a lot of people that have had the loss of the Spirit of God that have drifted to the point that they don't even know it. Samson said, I'll go out and I'll take care of these guys like I have on any other time, not knowing that the Spirit of God had departed from him. You see, you can tune the Spirit of God down little by little by little and play with sin until the point that you don't even know that God has departed. And suddenly you need him bad. I just don't have the strength. I just don't have the strength. I know a man that's a member of the church. He never did come to services. He had been a member of the church, and when I moved there, they said, Brother Northern Roy out here is a member of the church, said he never does come, and we got a meeting coming up, and said he always promises that he'll come, but he never comes. And I went out, and he told me what a great thing it was to be a member of the Church of Christ, and blah, 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 you know. And I said, well, that's good, Roy. We have a gospel meeting coming up. We sure would like for you to come. And as I walked out, well, before I walked out, he said, well, I'll try to be there Friday night, the Lord willing. I turned around and I said, Roy, the Lord is willing. It's you the one I'm worried about. And as I walked out the door, he said, don't give up on me, Brother Northern. Well, we have no right to completely give up on people, but there is a time that God says, take it away from him. give it to somebody else. He's proved himself useless with the Spirit of God. But not David. And so he says, O Lord, take not the Holy Spirit from me. Now there's a good point to this as we bring it to a close. And the good point is that the Holy Spirit hadn't left David. But he was scared to death he was going to lose it. The reason I know that the Holy Spirit hadn't left David, he could never have written a psalm like this without the Spirit of God. I believe it's inspired. If you can sit here tonight, you may have burdensome sins that's been on you in the past. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in me, Jesus says. And in your Father's house are many mansions. And if you can sit here tonight and you can pray unto the Almighty God, I know I've sinned, Lord, but don't ever desert me. Don't ever leave me in the lurch. When we sing that, I need thee every hour. Somebody said that's what their daddy put up over the door by a strap. I need thee every hour. But that is so true when it comes to the Holy Spirit of God. Now, in all seriousness now, seriously, what means more to you than anything else in the world? Some people say, well, I really enjoy my job. Willie Nelson probably saves hair. But some other people, like maybe the new Elvis Presley, say, don't take my guitar away from me. Somebody says, don't take my car and don't you even scratch it. Don't you put a scratch on it. But now, when the rubber meets the road, you and I are going to leave here. And none of that's going to amount to a hill of beans when we get ready to go. None of it's going to amount to anything. Now, do you trifle with the Holy Spirit? Are you just lukewarm? I'm talking to myself. I'm not just talking to you. Well, the point is, that is the only thing that really does count. And don't wait till you're taking your dying breath. I've been there so many times when people say, Brother Northern, come in and talk to my dad. Talk to my dad, said he's about to die and he's not a Christian. That's a terrible time to try to talk to somebody. This old man turned his head to the wall. He didn't want to talk. But his two daughters were trying to convince him, trying to talk to him. And this went on for days. When I came in, I said, Mr. Griffin, would you like to talk? He turned his face to the wall and said, no. One of the daughters went down to the end of the hall at the hospital when he finally went to the hospital. Margie was staying with him. She's sitting by his bed and she's crocheting. I believe she's doing some kind of sewing. He had his head to the wall. And all of a sudden, he raised up in the bed, shouted right in the room. I wasn't there, but Margie told me. He shouted right in the room and said, I'm wrong. I've been wrong all the time. You girls are right. And he fell back upon his pillow and died. And Margie's saying, don't die like my daddy died. Don't die like that. And so the lesson is tonight, the most precious possession you'll ever have is the Holy Spirit, the presence of God in Jesus Christ and his word in your soul. And Paul said, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, don't quench that. Be alive and alert to it. Walk in the light as he is in the light, and the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse you from all sin. And you may not like the hour of your death that it's going to happen, but you can go to it with gladness and joy in the heart. Now, gladness and joy is not always ha, ha, ha. Gladness and joy is a serene comfort. There's the joy, the serene, private comfort you have that I won't have to cross Jordan alone. Amen. We're going to sing the song of invitation. I hope that no one has chased the Holy Spirit. I hope none of that's happened to you. But if so, God would take you back like that. If you're penitent, don't carry a burden. And if you're not a child of God, look what you're missing. Look at the great wonder of the Almighty, having God the Almighty as your Father and being an heir to all of His riches and having Him to be there going to bat for you all the time. And though it may not be good for us to always lift our pain, He will take up the pain with us and help us bear it. Amen. Amen. Would you come while we stand and sing?